Welcome to the History Forward podcast. I'm Rachel Kulik, Curriculum Officer and Sessional Lecturer. Here, you will get inside stories from recent alumni on their educational journeys and what motivated and shaped their career paths. The purpose of this podcast is to raise awareness of the exciting and diverse careers achieved by undergraduate alumni of historical studies programs as told through their own voices, and to help inspire you to think about who you want to become and the skills you can bring forward. Thank you so much for joining in today. Now, let's talk history. Welcome back to the History Forward podcast. My name is Rachel Kulik, and today I'll be speaking with Sukarmana Singh Shankar. Sukarmana is a 2019 Honors Bachelor of Science graduate with distinction. Her specialization was forensic anthropology with a minor in South Asian civilizations. Currently, she is a research assistant under the supervision of Dr. Kumar Murthy and is working on the Scalable Architecture for Smart Villages project. While at UTM, she was active with the forensics program, holding multiple offices, including the president of the Forensics Society. She was actively involved in outreach and was one of the first outreach volunteers. Sukarmana has also published several papers, including one on research conducted during the capstone Forensics 481 course in the inaugural edition of Young Anthropology Journal, addressing the opioid crisis and the death investigation system within Nova Scotia, Canada. Specifically as a student doing a minor in the Historical Studies Department, she wrote a unique paper on the textual history of Ayurveda with the help of select practitioners at the All India Institute of Ayurveda. Thank you so much, Sukarmana, for joining the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. It's an absolute pleasure to be speaking with you.
I would like to start by asking you what your connection is with the Department of Historical Studies at UTM. And I realize they already answered some of this in the introduction, but what program did you complete? Did you take any other courses in the department? When did you graduate?
So the program that I took under the Department of Historical Studies was the South Asian Civilizations minor. And I graduated with that minor in 2019, along with my specialist. And as part of my minor, some of the courses that I completed included Sufi and Bhakti devotional poetry or literature, renunciation and erotica in Sanskrit literature, as well as history of Sikhism, history of Hinduism, and an independent reading course under the supervision of Dr. Ajay Rao, which was looking at the textual history of Ayurveda. And I was actually able to visit the All India Institute in New Delhi, India, as part of my independent research for that course.
That's excellent. I'd love to hear more about your experiences in New Delhi and traveling as well, but we'll get to that in a moment, I think. First, could you tell me a bit about how you ended up coming to study at UTM and in your historical studies program, and maybe where you're from?
Absolutely. So I am originally born in India, but I was raised mostly in Mississauga. We moved from India to Canada when I was about 3 or 4 years old, and we maintained a pretty strong connection to India because of my parents' work. And we visited at least once or twice a year up until I got into high school, and then school started getting more intense, so I couldn't take as much time off. But because I maintained that connection, I was always very curious to know more about South Asia as a whole. And when I came to UTM, one of the things that I really liked was the diversity in the courses available to study. And UTM was already my number one choice because of the proximity to where I lived. So it was 20 minutes by drive. I saved a lot of money on residence costs. And it just so happened that because I lived so close and because I was staying with my parents, I was encouraged pretty strongly to explore my interest in South Asian studies while also getting an Honors Bachelor of Science in Forensic Anthropology.
Wow. Okay. So forensic anthropology. Could you speak a bit more about how your studies work together at UTM and how your historical studies program was a good fit between forensic anthropology and South Asian civilizations? Did they fit together? Was there overlap? Were they divergent?
Well, I think when it comes to the nature of the programs that I have studied and I seem to excel in and also enjoy is the very strong narrative aspect. So I think underlying both the South Asian Civilizations minor and the forensic anthro specialist is you have to be an active listener, whether it's, you know, actively listening to the voices that are coming through with your case studies that you're reading or the analysis of the literature that you're trying to interpret the past historical stories that have been put forward or understanding how exactly people used to conduct certain rituals or religious practices. So that I think is the underlying connection. But when it came to actually doing coursework, definitely divergent. Unfortunately, the Department of Historical Studies doesn't provide a field school, unlike the forensics program, which we have out by Lylehurst. We had to excavate remains, the non-human remains, to clarify, and get hands-on training. So I think that would be the divergent aspect of it. I think when it comes to how the minor is a good fit, because you have to think so creatively with forensic science and you have to ensure that you're not getting tunnel vision when it comes to considering all different possibilities, it's kind of the same thing with historical studies, that you have to keep an open mind to different interpretations of the same text. And that's something that I felt really helped me grow as a person, to really allow multiple perspectives to come into one conversation. And it helped with my leadership roles and saying that different people bring different things to the table. And I can't just shut one idea down and only favor another, because in the long run, both of those ideas might either go completely bust or might both work really well. I just have to give it that time and space and nurture it as somebody who's interested in a leadership role.
Thanks so much for sharing that. That's fantastic how you made this work and how you saw these differences as well as similarities. I'm wondering now if you could tell us a bit about your current job role and how your studies in the programs influence them, or how it's been useful in what you're doing now. So you're in yet another department, another area now, working on a project right in the Department of Math, if that's correct?
That is correct. Under the supervision of Dr. Kumar Murthy, who happens to be affiliated with the math department and also currently serving as the director for the Fields Institute on the St. George campus. So Dr. Murthy and I are working on a model for scalable architecture to develop smart villages, which are essentially self-sustainable rural communities, and hopefully working towards reducing the mass exodus of youth going into highly populated urban centers and retaining the social capital within their place of origin. And where the benefit of my minor comes in is truly in the holistic nature of understanding all the different literature that exists on smart cities and putting them into context of smart villages, and also looking at specifically within South Asia, because both of our backgrounds as collaborators are in India, is knowing the nuances in the different cultural groups that exist. And I think one thing I can definitely say is, because I was able to do the independent reading course and Dr. Rao trusted me so much and said, you know, you go out into the field, you get whatever information you need to get, I think that gave Dr. Murthy a lot of confidence in me to say that I'm able to trust in you that the data collection or the analysis or the literature reviews that you want to do are going to be sound. And I don't really have to check in with you very often. And I think it's actually worked out really well because I get the chance to explore all of these different ideas, whether I'm sitting in my home in Mississauga or I'm actually out in the field in the different villages across the Indian subcontinent. And Dr. Murthy gets a lot of benefit out of that in developing his own ideas.
That's incredible to hear about your experiences. And I'm actually curious if you could tell me a bit further about what your work involves on this project. So you mentioned that you're actually doing field work and going out to villages. So are these, this village project that you're working on, are the smart villages new establishments, or is it working within established communities already to help them develop this smart infrastructure?
So it would be a combination of both. What we're trying to do when we go into the field is get an understanding of what infrastructure already exists and what are the gaps in it and how can we develop literature or find supporting literature to get grants to then develop a model that we can help them put out and implement. And that means looking at different institutions that we can tie up with, so like the Punjab Agricultural University, and seeing which villages they work very closely with and which ones they think have a lot of promise in really taking up the mantle and would be good models for smart villages.
I would love to hear more about that, and I have more questions, but I'm going to save those until the end. Can you describe how your path actually went after graduation to getting this role with Professor Murthy?
So this particular job has actually been all thanks to Dr. Rao and his hosting an event on, I believe it was a specific type of literature within the practice of yoga. And right now the name and event date and time frame escapes me, but Dr. Murthy happened to be attending the same lecture and we were both standing in the food line and we struck up a conversation and he was very interested in my forensics bend and I was very interested in his smart villages work. So I ended up actually finding him on campus in early 2019, and that was while I was still a student, and we started just tinkering around with different ideas, and at that point I hadn't been officially hired, but when I came back from India in early 2020, I actually signed the contract with Dr. Murthy, but prior to February of 2020, Dr. Murthy and I were working together, I guess, with myself on a voluntary basis, but the two of us were really interested in just getting deeper into what the concept of a smart village would really look like. Because the idea is originally based on Dr. Abdul Kalam's idea of PURA, and I can get you the full expanded version of the acronym. It's spelled P-U-R-A, but Dr. Murthy wants to take Dr. Abdul Kalam's idea further and create a mathematical model so that it's available for villages across the world to create their own individual and unique specialized version of a smart village. Because as we all know, not one size fits all. So we're trying to create just a mathematical model and then hopefully villages can take it further and create a network of learning so that they can share their own ideas of, oh, this is what worked for us here. And if you have a similar situation, you could do something similar and then maybe switch it up a little bit.
So all through this event and through the establishment of this connection, this led to your current role. And I was wondering if there was another particular professor or course that shaped the direction in which you went, or did something else shape the direction in which your work is going at the moment?
Well, I think specifically within the Department of Historical Studies and looking at the courses that I've taken as part of my minor, it would definitely have to be the course instructor I had for the history of Sikhism. I remember the instructor's face and just the way in which the material was taught to us. It was such a pleasant learning experience, unlike I had experienced before throughout, you know, any kind of historical or religious dissemination of knowledge, that it really made me look inwards and say, okay, how do I become a better Sikh? Because I am a practicing Sikh. And I think taking that course really made me challenge a lot of beliefs that I had about the religion and what it means to be faith-based versus religious. And I think that it also impacted my research when it comes to opioids, because I'm really interested now in looking at the socio-political context of the opioid crisis within Punjab. And I don't think that would have happened had I not been so invested in the course material, which really went deep into how the Sikh community and the Punjabi community really have struggled as the invaders kept coming into the Indian subcontinent through the north of India. And that had a lot of impact on who they eventually developed into as a community and what that community looked like and how healthy it was and how supportive they were of one another or the lack thereof.
Thank you so much for sharing that and sharing that experience and the impact of the course. The final standard question that I have for you is there any advice that you would like to share with students considering a historical studies program?
My advice would be to always go to office hours and get to know your professors, because I think that every professor is so unique. By understanding who they are and their personalities and their backgrounds, you can get a lot more out of a course than if you were to just go to lecture, go to tutorial, and just go home and just crank it out like a machine. Because we need connections. At the end of the day, we're all humans. We're all linked in one way or another. And sometimes we might share more similar experiences with somebody who we think we have nothing in common with than we would ever imagine. And we can't really get to know ourselves if we just close ourselves off to getting to know other people as well.
I was wondering, when you're doing your field research in India, what's your biggest challenge, or what's one of the challenges that you're working on now that you've been able to work through with the skills you have?
I think the two that come up, which I feel are equally important to share, are suspending judgment and acknowledging immense privilege. I have felt that I was a minority growing up in Mississauga and then a minority through certain extracurriculars where I was the only female South Asian representation. And when I go to India and when I'm sitting in on these village conversations, I realize that there's so much more that's happening that I really need to just put my own perspectives on hold and look at things from another angle and allow myself to be in their shoes to understand what it is that their specific needs are. Because if I come in with my own experiences and my own baggage, I tend to be judgmental of what they would like to be remedied or to be improved or to be completely halted. And I think that the other thing about privilege is that I live as a settler on Indigenous land. And when I go to India, the immense privilege that I have, I think, in both situations of financial stability and having known shelter is so stark of a contrast when you go to small rural communities who are still renting the places that they live in, or they are paying off immense amounts of debt that they owe to somebody else, and they don't truly feel like they've integrated into the community, or they're living in a peri-urban settlement that's just on the outskirts of like a big city, and they still feel like their home is somewhere else. And I think that knowing that I have a home, that I have a place where I feel like I truly belong, makes the acknowledgement of privilege that much more important when it comes to doing authentic and I think very rational field work and data collection.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's really good to hear your perspective. I would like to end now with a final question and just open the space for you if there's anything else that you would like to add.
I think the only other thing that I would like to add is that when it comes to any social science or non-core STEM subject, you really have to allow yourself to relax and get into the space, because it's so mind expanding and there's so many different perspectives that it really challenges you and pushes you to become a better version of who you are, regardless of what you're studying, whether it's history, whether it's religion, it's sociology. You really get so much more out of it when you leave aside the social assumptions that, oh, social science is so much easier because it's a very generic, basic field. I think it's much more complex than what people think it out to be.
Thank you so much, Sukarmana. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to speak with you.
If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who would also enjoy this episode, please pass it on to them or share it with your friends. Like it, click the follow button, or enter your email on the blog to receive podcast updates. Thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to having you tune in next time to History Forward.